we're going to look at, we begin last week looking at what titled The Reality of Death. And not something we like to talk about often, but it's good to look at occasionally and a good reminder for us. We looked at what heaven is, what hell is, and really going right along those train tracks, we're going to keep going down, looking at really what death is, and you know that. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, notice what he says, love not the world. You know these verses, I'm sure. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not in him. Now, again, we'll keep going in just a minute, but thinking about the reality of death, and I wanted to carry this over and thinking about that we ought to be disconnected from the world. Now, again, notice in your notes what it says here. How many people do you know who are truly looking forward to going to heaven? Well, that's a lot of people. But are you truly looking forward to going to heaven? Now, again, we do not welcome death, but we don't fear death either, right? I mean, we don't stand around and boy, just I don't care, both guns blazing. We don't walk that way, but we don't fear it either. Now, notice, can you honestly agree with Paul in Philippians 1, verse 21? Well, he says this, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, people say, boy, that guy's nuts, right? Well, you understand what he's talking about. He'd been through a lot of stuff. But if I live in the flesh, what's he say? This is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I what not, right? I choose not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, between a rock and a hard place, kind of, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And then he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for who? For you. He says that to the church. Boy, it's more needful for you if I stick around and, what, keep preaching and encouraging you. And again, you know the church at Philippi, he treated as a dear, precious church. He loved that church greatly. And he says, I want to encourage you, be a father to you, be a minister to you. But he says, the reality of it is that for me to die is gain. I get to gain more. And that's for us as Christians. We gain more when we do pass from this earth. And Lord willing, not early. We don't want to go early, but we know. Okay, notice the second paragraph. It says, why is it that many Christians here, and I put in especially America, are not really all that excited about the prospect of going to heaven today? They know that they get to go to heaven when they die, but they hope that it will be, well, many years from now, not today. I fear that it's because too often we are like Demas. Now, remember Demas. Paul said of him in 2 Timothy 4:10, he says what? Demas hath forsaken me. Oh, good. Man, you're fast tonight, brother. Okay. Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica, Croesus to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So he said these people have departed from me, but he highlighted Demas. And Demas, if you recall back in Colossians, was what? He said, well, Demas is with me. Demas is helping. Demas is here. Praise the Lord for that. And then he comes now here to 2 Timothy, his last letter that he's writing. Can you imagine being arrested and they put a death date on you, your execution date. You're going to die on, Wednesday, August the 2nd or whatever. And then he gets news, well, Demas forsaken us. Demas left. That'd be tragic, wouldn't it? And sometimes it hits you when you're down already. But Demas is one that forsook Paul because he loved the present world. Now, we're going to look at this in just a minute. So prosperity comes our way. God gives us good things to enjoy. And we begin loving the things more than we love God. I'm guilty of that. We begin trusting in the uncertain riches instead of trusting God, and then wonder why we're not happy. Why we're not happy. Hopefully we wake up and realize that it is possible, or impossible, excuse me, to serve two masters. Jesus stated it emphatically. No man can serve two masters. Well, why? Well, he'll hate the one and love the other, else hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. People say, well, I can do that. And no, we can't. I've tried it. Doesn't work. We just can't do it. We can't serve two. And by the way, notice how he words it. Masters. They're masters. We know riches, fame, materialism, all of it's masters. By the way, let me clarify again. There's nothing wrong with making money. People get, oh, you made money on that deal. That's wrong. No, it's not. You're honest about it. It's a fair market value that you put on that whatever you're selling. It's fair. You're not doing anything wrong. You make money. Praise the Lord for that. In our society, in our what we live in, we have the ability to make money. Now, again, we know it's when money becomes our God that we get in trouble. Okay, so then he commands, Well, love not the world, as we just read it, neither the things that are in the world. With that command, he also reveals a very important truth. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not in him. Go with me to James chapter 4 real quick, if you will. James 4. I hope I didn't mess you up back there, Brother Adam. Okay. James 4. Notice what he says there in verse 1. What, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? He keeps going. Ye lust, have not. Ye kill, desire to have. Ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers, adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So very clear in Scripture, we see it, okay? That we must be careful. Okay, so now, why does God forbid us to love the world, the things of the world? One, because of what the world is. Now, we studied some of this before, but I wanted to emphasize this as we think about, as we're approaching that great day, the end of our lives, we want to be prepared for what's next. The world refers to this thing called the world in three different ways. Now notice in Acts 7, it says the planet, obviously, but it also refers to the population of mankind. John 3:16, he says what? God so loved the world. He's talking about the population or humanity. And the godless system that is led by Satan, John 14:30. Those just clarifying what world is described as in Scripture. By the way, if you have a word that's repeated or used in multiple ways, multiple definitions, you follow it in the Bible, you study it, it always makes sense kept in context. Okay, remember that. Proper biblical study, or we studied it in our Bible Institute about that. Okay, keeping it in context, you'll always get the right definition. Okay, letter A, this world is the area of Satan's domain in his rebellion against God. He usurped authority when he led Adam to sin. Again, we read that a month or so ago about that. You know, Isaiah 14, I will ascend. I will make myself. I'll be equal with God. Well, no, you're not. No, you're not. A lot of people claim that today, and they're just a bunch of foolish people. And they'll be put in their place real soon. Number two, he devised a system to overthrow God. That system. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and a lot of the chapter, almost all of chapter 2, but he talks about the system to overthrow God. If you don't have it, that's okay. He's got it. All right. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is what? He's God. He's saying, I'm just going to say it. Remember ye that when I was with you, I told you these things. Okay. And know ye, now you know what that withholdeth he might reveal in his time. Okay, we can stop there with it. But he goes on to talk about those things. And he says he's God. This is the Antichrist in particular, this person that exalts himself. Well, he's going to devise the system to overthrow God. Well, it began with Nimrod at Babel. You remember in Genesis 10 what he talks about. Nimrod comes and says, well, we'll go ahead and just build us a tower. We'll go ahead and reach up to God, to heaven. Now, again, we studied that also in our Bible Institute. It was fascinating to look at. The people think, well, he's just trying to get to heaven. Isn't that a good thing? Well, no. As a lot of archaeology and other things are revealing, and a lot of study is showing, they built a temple, what some believe, a temple on the top of that tower. What was it? It was to exalt themselves above God, this God that's telling them all what to do, how to do it. That sounds like America today. It spread throughout the world under different names, and it will culminate in the world worshiping Him at the end. They will worship. And by the way, you can do any research today on our world, especially what's coming out of Hollywood and the music industry. Why do they emphasize Satan and evil worship? I don't know what it is. Well, we as Christians know what it is, don't we? It's truly coming to pass of what He promised would come to pass, okay? Under that, He became the God of this world. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, go there. Or notice it on the screen. 2 Corinthians 4, again, what He talks about. Notice this. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, lowercase g, notice that, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what He does. He blinds them. Unbelieving people, He blinds them to where they will not believe. And that's exactly what He's doing.
So again, why can we not be a part of this world? Because what it is, it's led by Satan, truly. He's blinding unbelievers to keep them unsaved. He's leading unbelievers according to the course of this world. He's taking unbelievers captive at his will. Now again, you know, unbelievers are just like a puppet. They're led to do things. I mean, just like an addict. I mean, you put anything that they're addicted to in front of their nose, they'll do anything they can to get that drug or that alcohol. That's what he does. He's leading them. He's taking unbelievers captive. He's fighting against Christ and his believers. We know that. He's holding this world in wickedness. Truly, truly holding it. That progression right there, you can follow it. Okay, anyways, letter B, this world is suffering under the corruption of sin. The planet is suffering because of man's sin. Someone asked me recently, what about all these natural disasters? Well, we have to understand some. And Paul clarifies it in the book of Romans. He says, this earth is travailing in pain, literally, because of the fall. Now, we don't understand all of it. We don't understand why there's these earthquake tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and such. But we must understand, we live in a fallen world, and the planet is suffering because of it. The creatures are suffering because of man's sin. The people are suffering because of his sin. We know Romans 5:12 talks about that. Because of man's sin entering into the world. And we know all of that. Now thinking through, the planet and creatures are temporal and cannot be rescued, but man is eternal and must make a decision. He must be rescued. Do all dogs go to heaven? Yes. Do all cats? We don't know. No, just kidding. But you think about, are there animals in heaven? Yeah, we think so. Okay, these are the questions I'm asked. I don't get asked deep theological questions. I get asked that kind of stuff. They look at me and go, nah, he don't know. He don't know what he's talking about. Okay, letter C. This world is not a natural habitat for the believer. Now, illustration. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. It's like a scuba diver in the ocean. How many have gone scuba diving before? Anybody in here? Oh, one of you. Okay. I've never done that. That looks exciting. But again, remember, you got to come up for air. That's not your natural habitat, right? You're down there and you kind of look like it. And I just watched an episode you've seen these shows, Shark Week or whatever it is. And the guy was floating along and he had a black wetsuit on with the flippers and he was just doing the scuba. And the shark thought he was a seal. Man, he came up and just wham, got that guy. It was kind of sad because he did kill the guy. But I thought about that, man. You look like you're part of the ocean, man. This is great, but it's not your habitat. You got to come up for air. The great analogy or picture again is that like a boat. Boat's got to be in the water to fulfill its purpose, but as soon as the water gets in the boat, we're in trouble. And that's the thing. Okay. Now on the second page, notice our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven. Now again, the word conversation means lifestyle, if you will. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so understanding as we look at this, he says our citizenship is in heaven. It's where we should look to. It's where we're looking forward to. Your address is up there already. Our life is in heaven and our inheritance is in heaven. Listen to 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. He says, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So that's what our inheritance is. It's waiting for us. And I'm so thankful we've not only got insurance, we got double and triple insurance on that stuff. Amen. We know that. Okay, number two then, why can we not be a part of this world? Why should we not be waiting here, but anticipating that great day? Well, because of what the world does to us. Interesting. Well, what's it doing? It replaces our love for our Heavenly Father, replaces that love. We stop enjoying God's love, we stop doing God's will, and eventually we do become worldly. Now, worldliness is more attitude than activity. It's anything with God left out. That's a pretty good definition. Anything with God left out. Don't leave him out. If you can, I do it all the time, but if you can emphasize the Lord, if the Lord will, he'll allow us to do that. What's it do? It replaces our love. What do we get back to? Letter B, it causes us to satisfy natural desires in forbidden ways. Okay, again, I'll be careful what I say here, but by the lust of the flesh, it's a burning desire for physical pleasure. Now, the world is being controlled by lust, seeking anything that feels good, fulfilling natural desires in unnatural and unlawful ways. Again, hunger, thirst, weariness, sex, they're all natural desires given to us by God. But gluttony, drunkenness, laziness, and fornication are sinful. And the Bible always, by the way, clarifies that. It doesn't say that, you know, getting hungry is bad, like a bunch of monks believe this. They believe you get hungry, it's something in your flesh deep down inside, the wicked man that's trying to make his way up out of you. That's not true. You're just hungry. You got to eat to survive, right? But again, gluttony. Again, with the other areas, I must be careful about tonight what I say, but very clear. He's given us natural desires, but we must be careful. Number two, by the lust of the eyes. It's a consuming passion to acquire things. The mind desires to see. The world seeks to satisfy with forbidden sights. The sights entice lusts of the flesh. Okay, do you see that progression? That's what happens. The illustration is Achan. You remember him? He messed up. He saw what? Boy, he saw some stuff look good. He saw some garments and some gold and some other things. I'll go ahead and just take that. Not a big deal. By the way, every time you sin, are you like me? When I sin, I always say, well, it's not a big deal. It won't hurt anybody. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. Because it does hurt. It hurts the people that are closest to us usually. So we have to be careful. But the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are the things talked about in 1 John, in particular 15 there. Letter C, it also causes us not to enjoy our eternal life now. Our eternal life now. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. Very interesting to look at and what he says. He says it very clearly, but we must be careful about what we obtain and what becomes a god to us as he says it. Now, thinking through this, he says, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold of it. Make sure you have control of it. Means to appropriate all the benefits, privileges, and responsibilities involved in the possession of it. We have privileges, responsibilities, we have benefits. The Christian has eternal life starting now. Again, we must make practical use of its benefits. If you are accepted, and you are a joint heir with Christ. Heaven is your home. You do not have to fear death. We don't have to. Number two, make practical use of its privileges. You're a child of God and the privileges of it. Now again, more rights you have, usually, or more privileges, more responsibility you have, I should say, the less rights you have, right? I mean, the president can't just walk out and go get an ice cream, although he likes to do that. It takes a lot to do. He's got to get all the Secret Service together. You can't just walk out in public. So less and less rights that he have. Us as children of God, boy, we've got a lot of privileges. We have a lot that we have, but we have to be careful because we can't just go out and do whatever we want to do. We have a testimony to keep. We got to be careful what we say, what we look at, and other things. We could hurt another brother or someone we're trying to win to Christ. There's a lot of privileges. Thirdly, make practical use of its responsibilities. You and I are a steward of God's things, and we have to manage them in the light of eternity. We should live so that others can see the difference. You are to share that life with others, and they ought to see a difference, right? We know that. They ought to see a difference in us. We're just run-of-the-mill like everyone else, say the same thing, you the same language, listen to the same music. It ain't no difference. And then when we come to them and say, hey, you ought to come to church with us. Like one fella, I said, why don't you come to church with me? He says, well, I didn't even know you were a Christian. Many years ago, it was one of my friends way back, but I thought, man, ouch, man. But it's because I never really told him. He was being rather, ornery about it, but we make use of it. We ought to enjoy our eternal life now. So many Christians, again, if you're like me sometimes, walk around with a bad attitude, a pouched lip, you know. I guess another day, another dollar, you know. No, we ought to enjoy it now. Okay, anyways, number three then. Well, why avoid and not get settled in this world? Because of where the world is going. Okay, now the planet will one day be destroyed. We know that. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 through 12 talks about that pretty clearly. The planet, one day, God will destroy that. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that's going to be great. As of now, righteousness is possible. We can do righteousness. We should be doing righteousness. But it's not a planet or a dwelling place of total righteousness that we'll see one day. Letter B, the riches of the planet will perish. And the choices are very simple. We can live for this world and lose everything. We can live for God and gain it all. Now remember what Jesus said, right?
What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, as we see it with all these celebrities and people, gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And these individuals that win the lottery, very tragic, isn't it? They win all this money, get all this, and they ruin their lives. They're gaining something. They got up to the top. I heard one of them say this in an interview. He said, everything I wanted my whole life, and he said, I finally got it, multiple millions of dollars. And he said he got to the top, and it was so empty because he was no longer chasing that carrot, right? That's what got him up every morning to work and do those things. And thinking about it, we ought to come back to this. Now, notice the last part. We can pursue God's will, and we should. And this begins with total surrender to Jesus Christ. Now, God then reveals His will through His Word and the circumstances He allows into our lives as we wait before Him in prayer. When we pursue God's will, we lose nothing. Again, two main areas. Follow God, seek God in His Word and in prayer, and watch the circumstances in your life unfold. God will close the door right in your face. He's done it to me so many times. And you don't go, well, one pastor told me one time, he said, Brother Tim, remember this, none of God's doors have push on them. They don't have a sign that says, go ahead and push this. No, when the door is shut, He'll shut it. When He opens the door, He'll open it. And so pursuing after that, God, I want to know Your will. 2 Peter 1, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail or fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Peter's saying, you know all of this already. And we tonight, we know this stuff. But he says what? I want to keep you stirred up and reminding you to keep your eyes on glory. Keep your eyes on heaven. And this world's not our home. We're just passing through. I like this last statement. Missionary Jim Elliot, you remember him? He went out to the Indians down there, and him and his friends were eventually killed by these people, but he wrote this before his death. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Isn't that good? He's no fool. Now the world looks at that and thinks we're fools. What a fool. You would give all that up. Some of you in here gave up very prestigious positions because you said, no, I don't want to do that and lose my family. I won't take that position and fly all over the world and lose my family. Or even better, I'm not going to do that because it's not right. God wouldn't be pleased with that. Thank God for you. But Jim Elliot, before his death, before he was murdered by those Indians, he made that statement. And boy, it rang so true. Before, when he wrote that while he was living, nobody thought of it. Oh, yeah, that's a good statement. Until he died, and then they said, boy, he really meant that. He really meant that one. He's no fool, right, who can give it. And by the way, I want to encourage you with that. There's coming a day, we know that, when we'll take our last breath on this earth. It will be a sad day for us, for our loved ones. Not for us. We'll be excited. We'll be in glory with the Lord. But the reality of it, don't get too comfortable here because this ain't our home. And people ask you about it. You say, yeah, I'm not too excited. I know where I'm going. I'm just passing through, man. And I hope you're prepared for that day. Again, if you're not prepared for that day, it's very simple. You accept the gospel by faith. And again, if you haven't done that, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how. And show you through the Bible, walk you through verses, not a lot of verses, walk you through and tell you and show you what the Bible says about eternity. Again, let me say, don't risk it. Don't risk it. You think, well, I think I am. That's not good enough. The Bible never tells us to assume anything. We are never to assume. We go off a fact. We do it. The Bible says it. Now I know, and we can know, John says, doesn't he? 1 John 5. I've written these things unto you so that you can know, that word is certain, that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess or assume anymore. If you've not made that decision tonight, tonight would be a good night, wouldn't it? And I know most of you have. But if you're not sure, because why? We're guaranteed this day that's coming. And we must be careful. We don't get attached to the world. We don't fall in love with the world. We don't get comfortable here. And if you are a little bit awkward at work and you don't fit in, well, good, because you're a Christian. You shouldn't fit in. We shouldn't fit in with that. And the worldly system
by which they operate, because there is a God of this world. Okay? All right. Well, anyways, I hope that encouraged you tonight and didn't depress you too much to think about that coming day. We look forward to the day we'll be with our loved ones, especially be with Christ, and I know you are looking forward to that day as well. Okay? I'll stop there. I appreciate you coming tonight. Take those home, those notes home. Again, look these verses up for yourself. Study it for yourself. I hope it'll be a help to you and a blessing and an encouragement to you. All righty. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening and again for these dear folks. They sit and listen so faithfully, so patiently. I appreciate them so much. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to take what we've learned tonight and apply it really to our lives. As we think about it, Lord, we ought to be prepared. There's no reason why we shouldn't be. As we look forward to this great day, we get to be with you. We get to be with the other loved ones that have passed on before us. And Lord, help us, especially myself at the top of the list, to not get attached to this world and the things of the world. It's so easy to do, so easy. And God, it's hard to live for you sometimes in a very wicked world, but we can do it. And you've given us all the help we need. Every tool's available to us. Strengthen us this week to stay in our Bibles, to stay in our prayer closet, and to stay close to you, Lord. Be with our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.